This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. At the Gary Housing Authority, they've had a chance to be able to coordinate and in turn join together with a movement that is going to help bridge the digital divide for the HUD-assisted housing residents within the programs. And with us to find out more about this very interesting and new cohort, as it's being called, we have the Executive Director of the Gary Housing Authority, Julian Marsh, with us, and also with us as well, too, from the GHA, we have Jose Ibarra, who is the Director of Resident Services. And gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Well, Julian, I'll open things with you, please. Give us an idea first about the new Connect Home USA's cohort that the Gary Housing Authority has joined in.
Let me just say that Connect Home USA is a program that's designed to help bridge the digital divide for HUD-assisted residents.
Mm-hmm.
We are very happy to be a part of this because, especially with this pandemic that's going on now, there is a real need for our families to be able to access the Internet for any number of things, just keeping in touch with the world. So by joining Connect Home 2020, this is going to give us access to resources that will help us make the Internet and the digital world available to the residents in our housing.
Now, how many housing units actually are going to be able to be involved in this program?
Well, actually, right now, we've got about 1,200 housing units here in Gary. And we're trying to get everybody that we have access to the Internet.
That's great. That's great. When the residents come into the housing, obviously, they're looking for housing. And this is a bonus, I suppose, to be able to have this opportunity to get digitally connected. How did you find out more about the Connect Home 2020 cohort and get involved in the program?
Jose, I'm going to let you take that one.
No problem. So, thanks. Great question. I think that as part of the Envision Center, we're looking at trying to connect our residents to services to become more self-sufficient. And as Mr. Marsh mentioned, because of COVID, I think that there's a huge need right now of having our residents connected to the Internet. So I was aware of this program, Connect Home. We were already in discussions of trying to figure out how to connect our residents to the Wi-Fi world. And then when the Connect Home application came about, they looked at us also because of the Envision Center. And it just kind of fit perfectly because one of their goals is to train residents in topics like K-12 education, college readiness, workforce development, and these are things that fall under the Gary Envision Pillars of Opportunity. So it was just a perfect match, perfect timing for not just for the Gary Housing Authority, but for the residents of the Gary Housing Authority.
Now, tell us more about the Gary Envision Center for folks that are not familiar with it.
Yeah, so the Gary Envision Center was a designation that was given to us last year, a year ago, last week, which is to help our residents become more self-sufficient. Their whole focus is to get them connected through various educational, massive program, economic empowerment, character and leadership, and health and wellness. And then we added STEM to our pillars of opportunity. For the most part, the Envision Centers across the country are targeted for public housing residents, but we realized that in Gary, there was a huge need for any resident to be connected to this. So the Gary Envision Center is open to all of City of Gary. Earlier this year, we were doing workshops on those different pillars at the Genesis Towers. We're looking at moving it to our new home at the Broadway and 19th, which will be the future home of the Gary Envision Center. But for the most part, we're doing virtual workshops through Social Security, Goodwill's doing workshops. We've had someone do workshops on Medicare. So all of these workshops kind of tie in perfectly with Connect Home as what they're trying to do is bridge that gap and provide more of a digital literacy training for our residents.
When you have a program like this where you're connecting residents together, in this case, literally, I guess, to the Internet, what kind of physical things do you have to have done? Or are there some facilities that are already in the GHA housing units that will make this connection much easier?
So we started already doing the Wi-Fi connections at our senior buildings just because it was easier for us to get riders on each floor. And it's perfect because our seniors realize that, especially with COVID, a lot of their doctor's appointments are now telehealth. They got to reach Social Security, so they're able to do it virtually. So what we're doing is, with my team, we're going to be teaching the residents how to access a tablet, you know, Zoom and so forth. So we've already started to work with the senior high-rises, and we're going to have to do more work with our family sites, being that it's a little bit more spread out. But the great thing about Connect Home USA is that they bring us these extra tools and resources so that we could connect our families to the Wi-Fi.
Is what they offer something that's more than just hardware, so to speak? It's more than just the actual connection. It's the training. It's showing residents how they can best use the opportunities that are going to be putting in there?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the internet connectivity that will help out, though, they actually do have even lower prices on devices that will be only given to those residents within the cohort. But then the big one is the digital literacy training. And these are just partners that are going to be providing extra workshops and resources to the residents. Mm-hmm. Health and wellness, financial literacy. We already have a good amount of local partners, but this opens us up with a larger amount of partners that are more on a national level.
Tell us more about these local partners.
Yeah, so we have at least 50 or 60 partners from Goodwill. We have some of the banks like First People's Bank, Northwest Indiana Community Action. They've done various types of resources and workshops through the Invision Center. And we actually, last month, also in partnership with Work One, we hosted a job fair at the our Gary Invision Center. We have one coming up next week on the 21st, the manufacturing for jobs from 1:30 to 3:30. But all of our partners are basically providing free workshops and services to our residents, which is great because these are much-needed services that are needed for our residents.
Now, since you have the setup for the cohort and the Connect Home USA is doing a lot of this work, are they doing training for the Gary Housing Authority staffers, too, so they can not only take advantage of being able to show residents how things work, but also take advantage of themselves?
Definitely, for sure. I mean, it's going to be beneficial for everyone. We just got the notification, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of learning what it's going to, what offerings are going to be available for even our staff. So, you know, we're waiting to hear on how to move forward with the program. But regardless, this is exciting news because this is exactly what we're trying to do, build our residents up. And this is going to be an extra layer of resources and programs for them.
Now, speaking of the residents, Jose, have you had a chance to talk with many of them, explain what this is all about, and kind of get them prepared for all this?
We talked to some of our seniors already because they've realized that there's Wi-Fi connected.
Right.
But, you know, there's going to be a huge campaign on education so they could understand what's available for them.
Well, sounds like
there's going to have to be a lot of footwork done.
It sounds like this would be a great program to get everybody involved with the Gary Housing Authority to get them the services that they certainly need as residents, but an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the internet if they aren't aware of it, especially with the connections. And it probably is going to lead, as you say, with the partnership with Work One and other organizations to help better themselves as well, get them into better jobs, better training for jobs, and it's going to be a great future for many of these people. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it, and we hope that this 2020 cohort that the Gary Housing Authority has with the Connect Home USA is going to be a very, very successful operation. Thanks for being with us to talk about it.
Thank you.
We're talking with Gary Housing Authority Executive Director Julian Marsh and his Director of Resident Services, Jose Ibarra. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. And staying with the city of Gary, National President of the American Federation of Teachers paid a visit to Gary yesterday, talking with people in the Gary Community School Corporation. And with us now to talk about that meeting and the news involving the school district, too, we have Post Tribune reporter Carol Carlson. Carol, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, it's quite a feat to have somebody from the national office, so to speak, come to town, and I'm sure that the folks with the Gary chapter of the AFT are very pleased to have her come in. Tell us about the visit, and tell us what it turns out that Randy Weingarten had to say.
Well, the AFT, or the American Federation of Teachers, is making its way across the country in a big blue bus, and it's emblazoned with the words AFT votes, and its purpose is to encourage people along their stop to get out the vote. Obviously, being a big labor union, when they say get out the vote, they mean to vote blue or Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary is one of the biggest AFT unions in the country, and its president, Glenisa Dunham, is the statewide president of the AFT. She's also a national vice president. That's a new position for her. She's joined that job as well with her other duties. And so Randy Weingarten, the president, who is based in New York City, stopped along the way in the big bus, and they talked about the importance of traditional public education, and she underscored that with a check presentation to the lead official of the Gary Community School Corp to help with its referendum, which mm-hmm. voters are now, actually early voting is going on, and voters are casting ballots on it right now.
So I suppose some of them that have, like you say, have done the early voting and had those ballots already turned in, have had a chance to speak out as to whether they would support the referenda. Can you just briefly bring us up to date, but bring us, I guess, a reminder of what the referendum is all about and the results that the Gary Community School Corporation managers, and in particular, Dr. Paige McNulty, would like to have?
Well, since 2017, Gary has been under state control because of its huge accumulated debt of more than $100 million. And at the time that it was taken over in 2017, it had an operating deficit or an annual deficit of over $20 million. And the original plan was to just let the district dissolve and let those students go to neighboring districts because the state did not see much future for sustaining that kind of debt. That mindset was changed by some state Democratic lawmakers, and the state agreed to take the district over and sideline the all the school officials that were in charge, including the school board. And the deficit has been shaved from $22 million to about $6 million, but those officials who are now in charge say that the referendum is needed to help close the deficit and also create some improvement for the school district. It's a $72.2 million 8-year operating referendum that school officials say will help boost teacher salaries, enabling them to actually attract teachers, which has been a problem. They had 45 openings last year, and it will also enable them to offer more academic programs and athletic and extracurricular opportunities for students.
Did Randy Weingarten have anything to say specifically about the referendum, or at least the work that's been done up to this point about the referendum?
She did mention that she was very impressed at how well Glenisa Dunham, who is the union leader, mm-hmm. was working with Paige McNulty, who is the head school official who works for a private company that's managing the district. Typically, as negotiations are going on and striving for teacher raises and so forth, it can get a little acrimonious between the two sides. And in this case, Randy Weingarten said that she was very impressed about how well they were working together toward this common goal of establishing this referendum for the students in the city.
And I guess it's to no one's surprise that Ms. Weingarten didn't have a lot good to say about the state government, because that is how the Gary School Corporation ended up becoming, I guess, listed as for a state takeover to begin with.
Yeah, what has happened in Gary is it fell prey to the emergence of charter schools, which were created by the state. I believe it was 2003 where mm-hmm. they came onto the scene through state legislation, and it was a phenomenon that was sweeping the country. It wasn't just happening in Indiana. But the idea behind charter schools was to give parents a choice if the school districts were failing them. And in Gary, that was certainly embraced. Gary's got about 10 charter schools now, and there are more students in charter schools than there are in the traditional public school system today. And in addition to that, the state went a step further. I believe it was in 2011 when they launched a voucher or choice system that provided parents with state funding to allow them to send their students or their children to private schools.
Now, obviously, she was here in Gary to be able to show her support for the Gary Community School Corporation and the AFT chapter from in Gary for this project. Did she mention anything at all about the other people that are running for election or re-election in the November election?
Yeah, before she came to the Gary Teachers Union, she also made a stop at a local restaurant. She was joined by Frank Mervan, who's the first congressional Democratic candidate, and other Woody Myers, who's running for governor on the Democratic side, and some other local elected officials. And they were there, of course, to get out the vote and to vote blue. And she is taking that message across the country.
Well, it sounds like that she had an opportunity to not only support the Gary School District and the people that they're trying to do their best to bring it out of the state takeover, but throw a little support for some of the other candidates as well, too, that are the names will be on the ballot, or as you mentioned, because it's early voting that have already been picked out of the ballot, to be sure. And we thank you for spending time with us, telling us about the story that you'd covered in print and online for the Post-Tribune yesterday. We thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Chris.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. What times you feel well, maybe you might have gotten hurt at home or some small thing, but it still requires some kind of urgent medical care, or at least to find out more, there are opportunities now where you can do so by way of phone or video. And Franciscan Health is making these virtual urgent care opportunities available. And to find out more about it, let's talk with Craig Miller. He is the Administrative Director for Ambulatory Services for Franciscan Health. And Craig, thanks for joining us on Regionally Speaking today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Tell us, if you will, the importance of certainly of urgent care, seeing somebody if you have a problem, but being able nowadays to be able to do it virtually.
Yeah, we've launched our virtual urgent care out to the community, and it has a lot of benefits. Obviously, with the COVID pandemic and a lot of the other concerns individuals have with going to offices. When you need the care, it's obviously very convenient where you can just dial up our physicians and staff from, the comfort of your home or office and, have a virtual appointment to, be taken care of.
What illnesses or injuries can be handled by way of virtual urgent care as opposed to going actually to the urgent care center someplace?
Sure. A lot of just the kind of the illness conditions, fever and some of those cough and minor illnesses can be addressed. Obviously, if you have a broken bone, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah.
Nothing truly replaces the hands-on care of a provider. But a lot of the basic runny nose, sore throat, allergies, cough, we can see those virtually.
What is the procedure that has been set up here from Franciscan Health if you want to be able to take advantage of this service, and what in turn do you need to do if perhaps maybe you don't need it right away, but you will eventually to be able to take advantage of it?
Absolutely. You can connect with us on our website, Franciscan Alliance. Go to the virtual urgent care, click on the link, and you can immediately go into what's called our virtual waiting room and be seen.
Mm-hmm.
We're typically seeing patients from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. You can also feel free to call one of our locations, or if you have our portal, MyChart, you can connect with us that way.
Is that a very simple way to be able to do so, especially if you're already established with maybe your primary care physician or other specialists maybe are with Franciscan Health and you're all set up with MyChart? You can do it that way easier? Is that much easier than if you had to start out otherwise?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. if you do get things set up and you get all signed in, so to speak, and you do actually find, well, for example, you have a stomach ache, and maybe you're feeling kind of poorly otherwise, it may in turn maybe give you some kind of indications that maybe you're coming down with the flu and you're having problems. What do you need to do in that case? And how long does the virtual visits usually last if you do take advantage of it?
Obviously, it depends on the conditions and your, we'll call them the chief complaint, the reason for the visit. But, you know, generally, 15 minutes, our physicians or providers will spend a little bit of time getting to understand what the complaint is. In some cases, if we do need to, do a swab or, it requires more hands-on care, we would, ask you to come into one of our locations to be seen in the clinic. But, it's really convenient. You just, whenever you need it, we're there. And generally, we can accommodate the visit right away.
When you get things set up to be able to take advantage of a virtual urgent care appointment, when you get in line here, do you have to set up way to be in touch with the provider? For example, if it's have to be a Zoom meeting, do you have to have that all set up ahead of time or just simply on the phone?
We do some phone consultations. Ideally, we like to use either folks that have a mobile phone or a tablet, works best, iPad, iPhone, where we just connect with you through the video. You don't necessarily need Zoom. And so through our Epic and portals with our platform, we can see you. We'll do a check sometime. If you're kind of new to technology, we have staff that'll help walk you through. So we make sure that we, can see and hear you clearly when we have the appointment.
Do you find that a lot of people that take advantage of opportunities like this tend to be, under the age of 50 or even some older people that maybe are a bit more tech savvy?
We have a lot of folks that are, I would say, in our senior population that love it. It's convenient for them. They can, they're doing more and more FaceTiming and other things with their technology, with their grandkids and children. So a lot of them enjoy it just because it doesn't require them to get out, drive to the clinic, and they can be seen, right away.
Right.
The other part is obviously, a family with, multiple children. You have one sick, one not, and, with childcare and other issues, it's just easier to do it from the comfort of your home.
I guess the other things that you think about, and certainly at the time when you're not feeling well or if you've hurt yourself slightly, not seriously, that you would actually have to go straight into urgent care, but you think about, is it safe to be able to tell the provider on the phone or on video what your problems are? Is it secure? Tell us how the security system is set up to be able to make sure that your opportunities to talk with the doctor is very secure.
Absolutely, and that's why we work with a company called InTouch, and they provide our technology platform and as well as Epic, which is our EMR with MyChart. We also do the screening questions to make sure that who we're identifying with as the patient is the person we're seeing. So we take that very seriously at Franciscan as well, so we ensure your security.
I guess the other question I have is that if you do take advantage of this way to have a virtual urgent care appointment taken care of, how's it covered under insurance? Is it covered under insurance, or do you have to work these arrangements out to make sure that you are not holding the total cost of this if you can have a deductible or something that you have to face?
Yes. Most insurers do pay now for the virtual visit, although we do ask that you check with your insurance, and we can if you contact us. We also have a $49 visit virtually that we market as well, so opportunities for anyone that needs it.
Now, because of the coronavirus pandemic and so many people have to see somebody because of medical issues away from the clinic or the hospital, a lot of these people, I know they may have coverage under Medicare or similar government insurance policies. Is there a way to be able to work with them to be able to make sure that this virtual urgent care is covered?
Absolutely. And like I said, most are covered, but I know there's a lot of different insurance products out there, so we will go through that with the patient prior to the visit just to let them know the availability. For those that, are not covered, whether it's Medicare or any other insurance that may not, for some reason, have the coverage as part of their plan, we do have the $49. So. Mm-hmm.
In the time that the very special virtual urgent care program has been available with Franciscan Health, have you gotten any feedback from not only folks who end up being patients having to take advantage of the service, or the staff members that are helping people out as to how it's been doing, or if they're happy with the service they've been getting, so to speak?
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of patients appreciate the time that you can just dial it up and you're, virtually seen immediately, mm-hmm. As opposed to having to, get in your car, you don't feel well, drive to the clinic, wait a little bit, possibly if there's other patients in the clinic. So the speed at which you're seeing it is much more immediate. There's a lot less wait. And, you're in the comfort of your own surroundings, your home. It's been a huge win for patients from a convenience standpoint.
Craig, once again, tell us if anyone's interested in checking out this particular service, the virtual urgent care provided by Franciscan Health, how can they find out more, or for that matter, how they can get signed up, so to speak?
Absolutely. You can just go to franciscanhealth.org, the website. There's pop-ups that promote the virtual urgent care. You can just click on a link and you'll be sent right to get started. You can also feel free to look in if you're a current Franciscan patient and have MyChart as well, or feel free to just call one of our Franciscan Express Cares and we can get you started from that way too.
Craig Miller is the Administrative Director for Ambulatory Services with Franciscan Health. We're learning more about the new available Franciscan Health virtual urgent care. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for Regionally Speaking for today and for this week. I'm Chris Nolte, and our many thanks to our guests on the program today, to Carol Carlson from the Post Tribune, as well as to Gary Housing Authority Executive Director Julian Marsh, and to his Director of Resident Services, Jose Ibarra, to Craig Miller with the Franciscan Health. And thank you for being with us, and we will be back with you on Monday.